You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here on a Friday, fun Friday here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And it's been a hot summer, hot day, beautiful day, actually. Kind of sneaky warm day here in the Twin Cities. Because earlier in the morning, afternoon, it was kind of still cool. But that sun right now, just no clouds really in the sky, just coming down. That's a hot summer day.
Hasn't rained in a while either.
No, no.
For about a week, hasn't it?
No, but as hot as it's been here in Minnesota, over across the pond in the UK, today is the hottest day ever in the United Kingdom.
Hottest ever. Oof.
Yes. It's a record breaker. They measured temperatures up into 104 at London's airport. And it's kind of a heat wave all over Europe because Paris has above 100 degree temperatures going on too. So it's a heat wave going on over there. It's noticeably warmer across the globe. So climate change isn't supposed to work that way necessarily, where it's so abrupt and hot, but it's been really happening lately. Like, for people who are climate deniers, it's hard to deny that this has been noticeable, that the temperatures have just been much more extreme than in the past. But that's not even how it's supposed to work. But if you have doubt, it's there. It's in your everyday life.
All you got to do is go look at what's happening in Greenland as well with the with this heat wave. I just read the stat. Let me pull it up here. How many tons they've melted, I think, just today. They've melted 11 billion tons on Wednesday alone.
Of ice?
Yes.
Wow. That's just unbelievable. That is a very, very large number. And, man, the consequences, that's what's scary, is that this could come much faster than we all predict. Like, life could get unrecognizable in the near future. I don't think we're prepared for it.
I don't think people really quite get the grasp of how climate change actually works, because what it is those polar ice caps melting, which makes the sea levels rise. That's what causes the global warming. I don't think people pick up on that, especially deniers. They think somehow we are saying, oh, magically the planet just gets warmer. No, it's because those polar ice caps melt, and it's a chain reaction in terms of how it works.
It's honestly a shame that it even has to be a political issue that has to have any sort of division, because it's something that should just be on TV regularly. There should be PSAs and just programming to explain what's going on so people could understand, like, what is happening and why this is severe, rather than us bickering on a red and blue argument level. It's ridiculous. But yes, Donald Trump, he has not helped in this regard. It will probably be remembered in his legacy of, you know, poor performance as president. But on this day, Donald Trump can have a little bit of solace and rest assured, because in 1923, the 29th president of the United States, Warren G. Harding, died in San Francisco. And Warren G. Harding is by most historians known as the worst president of the United States. So August 2nd, 1923 is the day that Warren G. Harding died. And we can celebrate that Trump, at least now, isn't recognized as worse than Harding. So he's got about a year and a half more to see if he can get up to that level and be remembered as the absolute worst.
I would say give that till September or October. That's what I'm predicting. That's what I'm honestly thinking. We're going to see the stock market crash by several thousand points. Those tariffs take effect on September 1st. And if you look at past market crashes, they almost always happen in the fall, especially September and October.
They
very rarely ever happen in the summer or the spring.
That is interesting.
It's always the fall. I don't know why.
You don't know why? Well,
I've heard some theories that basically investors are kind of on vacation in the summer, not paying a whole lot of attention. Then they get back and think, things aren't good.
Yeah, it seems like fall is when you kind of begin things again.
Yeah.
New season, football season, start of school. Fall is when things really take off, when you hit stride in the year. And summer does just feel like kind of vacation time. So money works that way too, apparently.
And if the market crashes, what has Trump done that's positive? He really has nothing to run on. If the economy's bad, that's the only thing he has to run on. That's a false premise to start with in the first place. But if that goes down, he literally would have no path to getting reelected, even among some of his hardcore supporters.
And that was a good point that you made last Friday about if Donald Trump won reelection, it potentially could be a good thing long term. Because there is this pattern going on in the United States where we have a Republican president for a stretch of time, and then the economy tanks, and a Democrat comes into office and builds back the economy just for the cycle to repeat. Have another Republican come, crash the economy, and in the process of just tanking things, take credit for the booming economy that the Democrats tend to build. So that's a fair point, and I don't know if I'd root for it, but if it did occur, it might not be the worst thing in the world. But let's talk about Warren G. Harding for a second. See what Donald Trump is up against for the worst president in United States history.
It sounds like my when I used to do fantasy football, they called it the toilet bowl instead of the championship.
Yeah, yes.
That's kind of what we got going here. Trump versus Harding.
Toilet bowl of the 45 presidents. So he was neither a deep thinker nor a decisive president. Harding failed in most opinions to impact the nation simply because he saw the role of the president as just a ceremonial role. He saw himself as neither a caretaker nor a leader. He just avoided issues whenever possible. So just kind of shifted away. If it's not involving me, it's not important. Unlike other modern presidents, such as Reagan, who possessed conventional minds and who thought simply, Harding never understood where he wanted to take the nation, nor could he communicate his message effectively. He had none to communicate, really. He didn't have a message or an idea. There was no philosophy attached to it, which is what I see a lot of in Donald Trump. What makes him different than past presidents is he is not led by any sort of principle or striving for any sort of virtue, which most like major leaders are. They have some sort of foundation of something that a deeply held belief, a conviction that's like led them to get to this point. But it's not the case with Donald Trump. He's reactive, and there isn't any like overarching vision. It's all ego. So I can see that comparison a lot between Trump and Harding. He spoke about a return to normalcy, but he had no idea what that slogan meant. This is Harding. He lacked the moral compass of past virtuous presidents, and Harding had no guide to follow. He was lucky to have had a few good men in his cabinet who generally ran fiscal and foreign affairs well. But in the end, those helpful friends he had were brought down by corruption charges. So it was this all combined, the lack of vision, the corruption of his cabinet, and then a presidency that really got nowhere for the country that people regard Harding as the worst president. And then, interestingly enough, Woodrow Wilson took office after him and is generally regarded as one of the best presidents in United States history and one of the least famous recognized notable presidents, because you've got, of course, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Franklin Roosevelt. Ronald Reagan, maybe, kind of transformational presidents that are well known. Woodrow Wilson, you don't hear often. He's not on currency, but he really did a lot to shape America and modern America, really after the Industrial Revolution. So we have one of the worst to one of the best. And hopefully that's what happens from 2016 to 2020. Hopefully we get a new Roosevelt, a new amazing president, because we got a big big pot to pick from. Got about 25 Democrats running right now. So let's hope we get the best of the best to raise to the top and become the next president.
John Delaney.
I'm just trolling again. Brett's new favorite candidate, John Delaney.
Delaney bandwagon.
See, Delaney, he is guided by a vision. He has a clear vision that you can understand. You see what he believes in. He communicates it well. So at least there's that. It's not one that necessarily we want as Democrats, but he has a vision. So it's better than some of these goons. But what are your thoughts? Give us a call at 952-946-6205. We'll be continuing the conversation on the Democratic primary as the debates just wrapped up, the second round of debates. And we got some news about the third round coming up and a new qualifier. Currently, we have 8 candidates who have qualified for the September debates. The bar has been risen, so we no longer likely will have these 20-person Democratic primary debates. Right now, 8 candidates have qualified, and there's a new one that qualified today, one that you are probably familiar with. While we're on it, let's go to Mark in Minneapolis, who wants to talk about Woodrow Wilson. Mark, it's good to have you.
Well, hey, love the show. I was just thinking, I believe Woodrow Wilson, one, was before Warren G. Harding. And two, I think he was also very well known to be just a vehement white supremacist and racist. He was famed for screening Birth of a Nation and the White House saying it. I can't remember the exact name, but something it was as memorable as a bolt of lightning in the way it enacted history. And of course, that movie was very famous for glamorizing the Ku Klux Klan and resegregated the military, I believe. And he also passed a lot of laws that impacted African Americans and housing well into the 60s.
Yeah, and that wasn't a personal endorsement of Woodrow Wilson.
Okay.
I was reading just some background on what historians feel about Harding, and they pointed out that Wilson's presidency is seen as very transformational and just a stark contrast between Harding. So that wasn't at all me endorsing him.
Good.
And it's good to bring up those things. That was just simply historians' views on the ranking of presidents.
Totally. And just Woodrow Wilson was before Harding as well.
Is it? Well, that's weird, because these must not be too good of historians, because it says follows.
Well, Wilson, of course, was president during World War I. Harding's election was very much swing right after a Democratic holding the office for 8 years, and people wanting us not to be involved internationally.
Mm-hmm.
One is very similar to where we are now, sort of a foreign policy, not wanting to be involved in other countries.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, Mark. And I think that is probably where that high ranking would come from, is the World War I affiliation, seeing the country through that, even though we didn't have as big a role in World War I. But thank you for the correction. Let's take a break, and then we'll go to Gary. When we get back from the break, we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We got a special edition of Mission Accomplishers this weekend featuring Gary from Minneapolis. So we'll talk to him in a moment when we return on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Get $50 for your trade-in regardless of condition when you buy new appliances from Warner Stellion. Buy at Warner Stellion and you get our already low price guarantee. Trusted fast free delivery, professional installation, 18 months no interest financing. And now we'll buy your replaced appliances for $50 each. Choose from Minnesota's best appliance selection with friendly specialists who save you time and money. Say goodbye to your tired appliances and get $50 rebates for a limited time at Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
Don't be surprised if you hear your name when you walk into St. Paul Corner Drug. Our experienced staff make getting to know you their top priority. Developing a trusting relationship with our patients is the first step in providing personalized care that achieves the best outcomes possible. Make certain all your providers know who you are and what your needs are. It is a vital step in your well-being. Stop by St. Paul Corner Drug today to start a relationship with a staff that cares. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Tune in to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We discuss national and local Native American news and events.
2 hours is still not long enough. Join Robert Pilot, Wendy Pilot, and me, Uncle Curtis.
Weekly correspondents include Winona LaDuke, John Greendeer, and Representative Mary Kanush Podine.
Broadcast live AM 950 Saturdays 1 to 3 p.m.
We'll be broadcasting live at the Minnesota State Fair August 24th.
At the International Market Bazaar.
Brought to you by Robbins Kaplan and Ho-Chunk Nation.
We are awake.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice, Minnesota. Hunter Hawes, Brett Johnson here for a fun Friday edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We're taking phone calls at 952-946-6205. We've been talking about kind of some early 20th century presidents. And we'll be talking about the current field of Democratic primary presidential candidates. But this weekend, you can hear an extended edition of Gary from Minneapolis on Mission Accomplishers. We sit down with Gary and have a longer form discussion. Gary's known as a regular caller here on AM 950. He's a big fan of the station, always has great sound bites to throw in, but he's usually contained to just about 30 seconds to a minute. So we extend that and have a longer conversation. And joining us on the phone is Gary from Minneapolis. Gary, what do you got for us today?
Well, I want to talk about the Republican view of individual rights. We hear a lot about them. You can't interfere with the free market. You can't interfere with the bosses, what they do with workers, to fire someone or to profit, almighty dollar for profits. And, you know, they step on their workers all the time, you know. And you know, then they say the unions, that abuses their right to reward the good workers. Well, everything gets abused. They've been abusing us for 40 years, the people in this country. Look at the Koch brothers. They're destroying the livability of the planet on the almighty dollar, the billions they get. What's enough money for them? Ted Kennedy asked that years ago. When's enough money for you, you know? Mm-hmm. So the profit over human misery, that's what the bosses do. Jefferson Davis back in the 1800s, he says, I believe in individual rights, my right to do with the slaves what I want. A lot of that's still here too today. They got a lot of white supremacy still in this country today. You can go on and on. They believe I make all this money owning businesses or whatever, or extreme CEO profits. I don't owe taxes. I don't have to give nothing back. I mean, they're God's chosen people. So, they owe money back. Nobody's worth $1 million or $200 million. Nobody works that much harder than the guy working for minimum wage, working his butt off in a restaurant every day.
Thank you for the call, Gary, and thanks for coming in yesterday. I'm sorry I didn't get to spend more time with you. Eric got to hog Gary the whole time. I was dealing with some ordeal, but I got that all straightened up. So tune in this Saturday at 7 p.m. for Extended Edition with Gary.
You know what's interesting about that, too? How many people have heard Gary's voice when it's not been on the phone?
I know. This is Gary mic'd up on a microphone. Definitely sounds different.
Yeah.
If you notice the Mark from Fridley bumper, you recorded on your cell phone still, but it sounds different using the microphone rather than the phone connection, and I noticed that. It's kind of even hard to tell that it's him. So, yeah, Gary's on these mics in here. So here, every harmonic frequency of Gary from Minneapolis' voice.
Oh, I love the way you put that.
So we have a new qualifying candidate for the September Democratic debates. That would be our own Amy Klobuchar. She is the eighth candidate to qualify for the debates, hitting the higher threshold of individual donations required to be a part of the debates. And me personally, I am excited to see the field get whittled down. I was a bit frustrated with the kind of the wide range of candidates, the low threshold, kind of, in my eyes, an unfair way of determining who should be on the debate stage, because you had people like Mike Gravel qualify, meet the expectations, only to be excluded due to a technicality that the DNC had in its back pocket to use for anyone they didn't want on the stage. I guess, though, seeing this play out, it was interesting to get introduced to all of these candidates. I liked it a bit more in practice and execution than I did before it occurred, because there were candidates that I got to kind of see in action, and now I'm interested in following them wherever they go, like Julian Castro's one. I never would have looked into him on my own, but after that first debate, I was intrigued. Bill de Blasio, I'm a big fan of him. I knew who he was, but seeing him on that stage, I've even voted for Bill de Blasio, actually, when I lived in New York. But seeing him in that context, I was like, oh, this is a guy who could be a leader for our party, our movement. I liked it. I was reintroduced and saw his potential. So I will say that I did enjoy having the wide range of ideas and candidates, but let's get down to business now. Let's have the real adults table debate. And so far, the qualifying candidates, joining Amy Klobuchar, who qualified today, include former Vice President Joe Biden, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, California Senator Kamala Harris, South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, former Texas Rep. Beto O'Rourke, and New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. Which, reading that list, the only one, the one that stands out would be Mayor Pete, for really only being a small-town mayor. The rest are senators, vice president. Really, they're all senators besides Beto O'Rourke. So kind of an elite bunch, but the candidates that we saw as the serious contenders from the beginning, really. And there will be more. There's still 6 weeks or so to get more donors to qualify. Is it double the amount It's something close to double the amount.
Yeah,
you know?
It actually is a straight double.
Okay, so
65 to, 130.
Yeah, so 130 individual donations. So those are all unique people. Who do you predict would be the next qualifying candidate?
Oh, Brett? Andrew Yang. I mean, he technically should have already.
Oh, he has, but not the polling threshold.
Yeah, they basically said he actually had four polls, but they said two of them were technically done by NBC. But he's probably going to reach the threshold.
That's right. And Yang, very interesting. He's been kind of consistently polling at the fourth spot lately.
I think Tulsi Gabbard should be up there, too. She, I believe, has met the donor threshold. Mm-hmm. She just has got to get – well, maybe it actually could be tough for her to get 2% in four polls.
I think after this last debate, she'll reach that. There's a lot of buzz around her. She had a loyal following to begin with and then kind of a loyal following against her as well. But I think she impressed a lot of people in this most recent debate. So I see her as definitely one of the next qualifying. So I'm excited to see both of those two enter, Yang and Gabbard, because they both bring a unique perspective to the table. So I definitely see those two as candidates who offer something to the larger conversation. So I'm glad that they'll be there. Likely, they haven't qualified yet, but I guess the other candidates I'd like to see would be Bill de Blasio. He's my new man now. Marianne Williamson. I love Marianne Williamson. And Jay Inslee also, I think, would have a good perspective to have at one of these more serious debates. And then it'll be interesting to see if one of those centrist candidates can kind of break the mold and get into the running.
You know what? The perfect number we need of candidates to qualify is 11. Because if they get to 11, they have to hold two debates. And wouldn't that be so much nicer to have a debate of just five or six people at one time?
Yeah.
Not just this glob of 10.
Yeah, and have longer time to give answers. I'm so frustrated with the 30 seconds, 60 seconds, and the abrupt cutoff. It's not a good way to give out ideas, large ideas like this.
The worst scenario is if we have an even 10 that qualify, because we're just going to get the same type of debate again. If we can get 11 or 12, mm-hmm. it'd be nice to split them up.
Yeah, so start donating to whoever is close, regardless of their views. it's interesting, though, that Amy and Cory Booker have met the threshold because those two were in the news for spending a ridiculous amount on Facebook ads to reach this debate stage. And me personally, I am frustrated with Klobuchar and Booker for their approach to reach the debate stage, whereas they spend millions of dollars to gain $100,000 in individual donations so they can reach the debate stage with no message other than get me to the debate stage so I can be there. Those two specifically, Klobuchar and Booker, frustrate me because that was really their approach, was just dump a lot of money to get people to donate so that they can be there, rather than an idea, rather than bring me to the debate stage so I can talk about XYZ, it's bring me there so I can be there. So I was very frustrated with that. I've aired that out. A much smarter approach for Klobuchar and Booker would have been to put some of those millions they spent on Facebook and Google ads into independent progressive media outlets like ours, or blogs, newspapers, newsletters, YouTube channels, anything. Just support the progressive talkers that got you there in the first place, because hopefully that campaign contributions you were spending came from people who care about progressive causes. Why not feed it back to the community? Or did you just spend all your corporate money back to Facebook and Google, huge internet corporations? Probably that is what actually happened. Regardless, though, you should have funneled it back to progressive communities. Let's go to Matt in South Minneapolis, who wants to talk about Tulsi. Matt, it's good to have you.
Hey, guys. I'm kind of getting I'm a little confused because I'm listening to the Stephanie Miller program, and Stephanie Miller is definitely opinionated about Tulsi pushing. She says that Tulsi is pushing the Russian bot agenda, and that she's a plant from the right wing. I don't know how I'd quite feel about it, but I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to say about it, and I'll just take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. So I will. I do have an opinion on this, and I feel that the people who push a narrative like that are the same types who complain that Bernie Sanders fans are dividing the party and come from an approach of don't like this progressive because they are ruining things. So I'm not going to get too into it, but usually the people who are howling about one thing are the ones who are in fact doing it. And I don't see that as constructive for when we're trying to band together and beat Donald Trump. So I'm not going to attack. I'm just going to point out that I've noticed that. But let's do a giveaway. So we've got two tickets, Brett, correct, to the Capitol Steps at the Ordway.
Absolutely, yeah. Hilarious guys, too. We interviewed them a few years ago. I believe they were with, I think, Matt McNeil. We had them on. Yeah, very funny.
So we will do, I think, caller 3 to 952-946-6205. And to win the tickets, simply tell Brett, which member of the Bush administration would you like to prosecute for war crimes? You've got George W. Bush, you got Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Condoleezza Rice, whoever you want. Tell Brett, a member of the Bush administration, that you'd like to prosecute for war crimes, and we will get tickets to the Capitol Steps to caller 3. So let's take a break, Brett, and then give you a chance to get to the callers. But we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Give us a call 952-946-6205 for tickets to Capitol Steps.
This is Heartbeat for the Week. I am Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on some fantastic theater happenings this weekend in the Twin Cities area. The Minnesota Fringe has begun, and this is the first weekend of shows. As the producer of the largest performing arts festival in the Midwest, the annual Minnesota Fringe Festival event fills 40,000 seats with audiences viewing dozens of works at hundreds of performances by more than 1,000 artists on a variety of stages, August 1st through 11th. They've also created the Minnesota Family Fringe, featuring productions for kids and families interested in new, adventurous works. And there are a couple of shows that we'd like to give a shout-out to. Tess Jones, Space Archaeologist, opens this Saturday at 5:30 p.m. at Rarig Center's Arena Stage. Exploring the Rho Phi Quadrant in a constant search for life's earliest objects, Tess Jones, Space Archaeologist, travels to new worlds with new, exciting creatures. The evil association of honest, objective, loyal, and ethical guys has seized power in the Quadrant with the help of the Terran Extremist Radical Front. This staged adaptation of a long-lost episode of a non-existent radio drama from the 1980s takes a look at current events through the lens of the past's view of the future. To read more about this show and to reserve your tickets, go to www.minnesotafringe.org or go to www.tinyurl.com/TessJones. A Man's Guide at the Fringe is a five-part discussion series aimed at finding solutions for toxic masculinity. Blogger and longtime theater practitioner Scott Froelich, formerly Scott Moore, has invited a group of experts representing a wide range of subjects to give insights on how we got here, what's happening now, and what we can do to move forward. With movements and topics like Me Too, Time's Up, and Not All Men drawing cultural lines in the sand, they'll endeavor to validate the helpful and dispel the unhelpful. Note, every night is a different discussion on a different panel, so make sure that you're scheduling yourself for the discussion that matters most to you, or that you believe will matter most for a male-identifying person in your life. Here are the topics of discussion: street and workplace harassment, dating and relationships,
gender, sexuality, and intersectionality, violence, incels, and managing expectations, and finally, producing theater. Go to www.minnesotafringe.org to find out more details about this show and the others we've mentioned, and to reserve your tickets today. That's Art Beat for the Week. I'm Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, Brett Johnson back here at AM 950. Congratulations to Mark in Minneapolis. He is the winner of those tickets to Capitol Steps at the Ordway next Friday. Again, thanks for everyone else for trying to call and win those tickets. We will have a few more opportunities, but you can also order those tickets yourself and guarantee your spot at ordway.org. Again, thanks for calling. Mark in Minneapolis, our winner today, and I think on the other side of the break, we're going to give you his answer in terms of who he would like to prosecute for war crimes in the Bush administration.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
When you hear someone say, "A couple drinks never hurt anyone," don't believe it. Alcohol-affected drivers have killed and injured thousands. Don't add to the problem. Don't ever drink and drive. A safe driving tip from Ron Casa Construction, helping raise awareness of important issues affecting our local communities. Building for a better tomorrow. That's Ron Casa Construction, your experienced and reliable local construction contractor and proud longtime sponsor of this community awareness program.
AM 950, the progressive voice in Minnesota. And I regret that I made it the third caller. I should have made it really the 10th or the 20th caller.
That so gives we could me have a lot of work.
Prosecuted the whole Bush administration then.
You do that to me, I'm going to make it like the 29th caller.
It's a good cause, though. But who was our winner?
Mark in Minneapolis.
Mark in Minneapolis. And he wanted to prosecute the entire administration, but if he only had one, Donald Rumsfeld would be the prosecution. And how about a little dual diagnosis and get Donald Rumsfeld and Donald Trump?
Double the Donalds, I like.
Double
it.
The Donalds. Yes. So congratulations. Enjoy that. Show's next Friday at the Ordway, Capitol Steps. It'll be a great time. But we're taking calls now for the show. Give us a call at 952-946-6205. And we've kind of been talking about the debates. Amy Klobuchar qualified. Some of the candidates who have participated in the debates. And Tulsi Gabbard came up as a topic of conversation. And our friend Mark from Fridley called and has some feelings on the subject. Mark, what do you got for us today?
Well, first, like your previous show, you got to come with solutions. The solutions is to get the hands out of corporate, for-profit, corrupt media and get it back into the hands of the League of Women Voters.
Mm-hmm.
We do that. They're biased. They're objective. They're trustworthy. We can trust them. We got to take it away from the talking heads. I don't give a crap what Jake Tapper thinks about anything at this point, and they're getting ripped. I want to touch base, too, on some information I sent you. The government at all did not have a very good week. There were hearings on how the FBI missed the sexual assaults of the Dr. Larry Nassar from Michigan State University, who was preying on our women and girl Olympic athletes. Then we had a hearing on how the FAA messed up and allowed Boeing to self-regulate, which resulted in a couple of hundred useless deaths and the collapse of Boeing as a company. We had an opioid crisis hearing that showed the epic fail of the SEC. And I sent you some information today about the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and I know them very well. I call them the Selective Enforcement Commission. Things are so bad with the SEC that they had to hire a reputation management expert. And I sent you guys some information. We'll talk about this maybe next week. But things are so bad at the SEC that they're worried more about their reputation than actually doing their jobs. And another article I sent showed you that they collect about 50% of the fines that are issued. But let's talk about Tulsi Gabbard and her takedown of Kamala Harris. Number one, Stephanie Miller. She agrees with Lindsey Graham on this, and she agrees with a bunch of neocons that Tulsi Gabbard, and you know, get this Russia shill or operative, get that completely out of your head. That's as dense as Mueller-gate. But what she did is she exposed Kamala Harris to say, I've got a solution. We're going to call it Medicare for All. It's going to start in 10 years, and it was written and drafted by pharmaceutical lobbyists and health insurance lobbyists like Catherine Sebelius. And she said she was one of the writers of the Affordable Health Care Act. Well, congratulations. You're just showing us again that you're having a lobbyist write your legislation and it doesn't kick in for 10 years. One of Barack, you know, and again, we got to go back to Teddy Roosevelt. You got to give criticism when criticism is due and praise when praise is due. Barack Obama's first legislative act was Lilly Ledbetter. And the loophole in that, and everybody was, hooray, hooray, hurrah, huzzah, this is great. It's not, because we're still talking about it, because it waits for almost 20 years for those things to kick into place. So that's why we're still talking about health care. We're still talking about women making, you know, 75 cents to a guy's dollar, and we don't get people that are interested in fixing the problems. Tulsi Gabbard exposed it, and she also said, and this was completely missed by the media, and she's being suppressed on Twitter for this comment, that the U.S. government is supplying and providing material support for ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban. That's 100% true, and that's why they're going after. So, Stephanie Miller, shame on you. You know, you're in bed with Lindsey Graham.
All right, Mark, thank you for the call. And I agree that the divisiveness is not good and that Tulsi Gabbard's intentions are for the progressive cause and someone we should support, not alienate. But let's we got a lot of calls. Let's go to Aaron in Plymouth, who has a kind of a different take on things. Aaron, it's good to have you.
Hi, Hunter. I'm glad I was able to make it through because I wanted to essentially refute what the last caller was talking about, Tulsi Gabbard. It sounds like he was trying to cast her as a decent person, and I think that can't be any further from the truth or reality. I mean, this woman supports, or rather I should say she supported, you know, conversion therapy for gay people. She came out and flat out said that, you know, Bill Barr was right, that there was no collusion. I don't know what drug this guy is on, but he really needs to get his facts straight, or at least get sober before he makes another phone call and embarrasses himself.
Wait.
I mean, we need...
Go back. I didn't quite follow. I got the conversion therapy, but what did you say right after that?
Tulsi Gabbard came out and said that Bill Barr was correct when he released that, fictitious letter stating that Trump was exonerated, that there was no finding of collusion in the Mueller report. She supported that.
I believe that is a bit of a twisting of things. I think she more said that it shouldn't be what we're focusing on. And then that got turned into that she supported. So I've seen that and kind of saw it as a way to kind of sow division by the media, which was typical. So I don't think – and I could be wrong. But as far as I've seen, it got twisted.
And I freely admit I may not remember the facts 100% correctly on that. My recollection is that she basically agreed with Barr, stating that there was nothing. I mean, okay, well, make a long story short, my biggest problem with Tulsi Gabbard is that she strikes me as Jill Stein 2.0. She's going to be basically a wedge used by Putin to siphon votes away from the Democratic candidate, just like Jill Stein and Gary Rhodes were in 2016.
Yes, and thank you for the call. I think that perfectly demonstrates the idea I've been talking about of having a show on Tulsi Gabbard with someone who supports Tulsi wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, and someone who has concerns about her, because she, I see, is the most divisive candidate in this field that really has split people who usually have kind of uniform views. Like, I've noticed with just my community of people that she has quite a bit of division. So I'd like to explore that one day. I'm glad you both called. But let's take a break, and then we'll come right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and Powderhorn Park are thrilled to invite you to the Powderhorn Art Fair. Shop hundreds of local and regional artists on serene Powderhorn Lake. Taste foods from local food trucks and enjoy exploring the Powderhorn community. Considered the best regionally juried art fair for nearly three decades, it takes place right in South Minneapolis in picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. Join the fun from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The success of the art fair comes from Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association's long-standing collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and a portion of the proceeds support youth programming at Powderhorn Park. There'll be over 200 artists, 20 food trucks, and great fun at Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. For more information on the art fair, go to ppna.org. That's ppna.org.
What we gonna do about the man in blue? What we gonna do? What we gonna do about the man in blue? What we gonna do?
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And here in Minnesota, August 1st, yesterday, marked a whole bunch of new laws going into effect, and a major law would be the hands-free cell phone bill. No longer can you hold a cell phone in your hand when driving the car. And the police started pulling people over yesterday, handing out the first tickets of the hands-free cell phone ruling. Your first ticket is going to cost you $50, and they escalate from there. So don't hold your phone when you're driving now in Minnesota. As I said, they escalate in penalties. So your second violation goes up to $275, kind of a steep climb. And I don't know what happens for third, fourth, fifth, but I know it's not good news. So gotta train yourself to not hold your phone when driving. Doesn't matter if you're using it for navigation. You would have to have a little holster in your car to do so. You can no longer just have it in your hand. And this bill, it had a bipartisan support, passed pretty quickly, actually, this year. And there was a big lobby of people who were at the Capitol to get this passed that lost loved ones from distracted drivers. And distracted driving from cell phones is actually seen to be as if not more, dangerous than driving intoxicated, which was interesting. So I've heard people that have wanted to escalate the penalties to be the same as DWIs for driving with a cell phone. And there's research that backs that, but I personally wouldn't go there. I don't like getting people in trouble over things like this, creating criminals over things that are not criminal, if that makes sense. I don't – nonviolent offenses, protecting you from yourself. Yes, this distracted driving affects other people. My point is just you make it too steep, you're creating new criminals who of people who shouldn't be considered criminals. So if you're going to make a call in your phone from now on, you have to have a hands-free device. You can't dial your phone with your fingers. You have to be able to voice it, use your voice commands on smartphones, iPhones and other smartphones. They all have voice control now. So the Siris and I don't know what the other one, Cortana, is that it?
Who's the Google one? Alexa.
Alexa, yes. Yeah. Isn't that Amazon Alexa? Yeah.
Yeah, I get it mixed up.
Yeah.
Amazon should just be called evil.
Regardless. Yeah. Oh, let's go to Brad in Robbinsdale quick. We just have 30 seconds, Brad, but go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, by my understanding, the leader of Puerto Rico has now left the office. And so I want to make a shout out to the people of Puerto Rico. And we have not seen such a spontaneous eruption of popular will since the peasant revolt in England of 1381.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no, and that is one of the more encouraging things to see people band together and fight systemic problems. And interesting to note about Puerto Rico, that right before I got my job here, I was planning to move to Puerto Rico. We had signed a lease even, and then I got the job here, and the hurricane happened, and I said, I guess I'm changing my plans. So I almost was a Puerto Rico citizen, resident. That's it for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We'll see you next week.